What's your dream car? Could someone tell me what's your dream car? A Hummer. A Porsche. Could this be your dream car? That James Bond 007 drove in one of the 007 movies. This car looks beautiful, and this car can vanish, can disappear, and this car has all the great weapons for attacking its enemies, and this car is bulletproof. Don't you want to have a dream car like this? Isn't it cool to have a car like Vanquish? Many of us have a dream car. It's just like many of us have dreams about what we want to be. We want to be better. We sometimes want to be like someone else that we are not. But what a pity if we already have the dream car, like the one that James Bond has, the Vanquish. And yet, because we are afraid that we might scratch the car, that we might damage the car, or we might get the car dirty, we just put the Vanquish in the garage. We never drive the car out to enjoy what the car can provide us, to take us to beautiful places where we can see great scenery, where we can meet great people, where we can accomplish the mission that God has given us by using this car, just like 007 used this car to protect his country, to protect himself from his enemies. Many of us are like that. Many of us already have the dream car that God has given us, but we don't want to scratch it. We just want to keep looking good, and we never use our car, the gifts that God has given us. What a pity. What a misery it would be. And there's another type of person who might be like Johnny. Who is Johnny? Johnny is a young man who grew up with Down syndrome. If you know anything about Down syndrome, look at this picture. People with Down syndrome would look different. They have bigger scowls, they are deformed in some way, and they look not very handsome. Besides that, mentally, they are not as capable as a normal person. As a result, Johnny didn't do well in school, and when he was growing up, he often got laughed at because of his appearance. Johnny didn't have much confidence in himself and what he could accomplish. He didn't think that he could make a difference in this world. And after he graduated from high school, he could not further his education in college, and he just took a job as a bagger in a supermarket, someone who helped people to put their grocery in a bag So that's what Johnny does. And he doesn't think that he's going to make a difference in anybody's life. Some of us are like Johnny. We think we are not good enough. We have many limitations. We cannot make a difference in this world. We are not going to be anybody great. As a result, we hide ourselves from other people. That's that when we are exposed, we might be laughed at, we might feel unimportant and insignificant. This is another extreme. The first extreme is those people who know they are good, but they don't want to scratch themselves by trying to help others. They just want to keep looking good. As a result, they hide themselves, keep looking good, but not really realizing the full capacity that God has given them, the gifts that God has given them to help others. The other extreme is people who know their limitations, and yet they think because of these limitations, they can do nothing that will make a difference. So they hide themselves from other people, and they decide not to do anything because they think they are not going to make a difference even if they try. Which one can you relate to? Today we will look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 9. We will see that there are unconditional promises that God has given us, that God has already given us for us to just go claim it. And there are conditional promises that God wants us to do something, and then we will get the promises, the blessings for us. This is the second part of our series about how to live out God's awesome promises. Last time we talked about how we can live our life with our back to the past, our past failures, our past reliance on someone who is great, but now this person has left, just like Minister Peng has left, Freddie has left, Aaron has left. If we were relying on them to get things done, now they are gone. Do we, as a result, do nothing? Do we feel insecure as a result? We also talked about how we can lift our back to our past successes. These can also be hindrances in doing God's work, in living our life, because we might become proud, we might become complacent, and as a result, we no longer grow, we no longer learn new things, and do new things for God. But today, we're going to see what are the unconditional promises that God has for us, and what are the conditional promises that God has for us, and then how we can claim these promises so that we can be blessed, and that other people can also be blessed, so that we'll not go to one extreme to not do anything even though we have given good gifts, or not to do anything because we are so afraid that people will never at us because of our limitations, or because we think that we cannot make a difference at all. What are the unconditional promises that God has given Joshua? The first unconditional promise is that Joshua had a promise in God's stated purpose, as said in verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. God promised Joshua that no matter where he set his foot, he will give him that place, as God promised Moses. God stated clearly that the purpose, the unconditional promise, is that God has given Joshua a purpose to claim the promised land for his people. As long as Joshua set his foot on that land will be his.
What a great promise. In our lives, God has also promised us, as we will see from Romans, that He will make us like His Son, and that we will become mature and mighty disciples for God. That's the purpose God has for us, and God will unconditionally help us in the process to accomplish this promise. The second unconditional promise that God has given Joshua is that Joshua had the promise of God's presence. God will be with Joshua. As in verse 5, it says that no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God will be with Joshua, and nobody will be able to stand up against him as a result, because God is the Almighty God. God is the sovereign God. He is in control. No army can stand against God. God has also given us a promise that He will be with us. God has given us the Holy Spirit indwelling in each Christian's heart, so that they can experience God's presence and power and guidance. God has given Joshua the promise of His presence, as also said in verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." The third unconditional promise that God gave Joshua is that Joshua had the promise of God's faithfulness. Verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will need these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and courageous, because you will need these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." God swore to give this promised land to the Israelites' forefathers, and God would keep His promise, for God is faithful. With this guarantee from God, how assured that Joshua will become. God is faithful to us. God has promised that we will become like His Son, Jesus Christ, as we continue to live our life relying on Him. God is faithful. He'll continue to mold us and shape us to become a mature and mighty disciple like Jesus, so that people will be attracted to us, so that the world will be full of lost people will see how good it is to be a Christian. And we are going to become a mature and mighty disciple because God is faithful. God would always keep His promise for us. But there are also conditional promises that God gave Joshua. What are they? They are in verses 7 and 8. Verse 7 says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." God asked Joshua to be strong and courageous, to obey all the Mosaic law. That's something that is conditional that Joshua had to do. And then the promise will be realized. And the result is that you may be successful wherever you go. You may be successful wherever you go. The second conditional promise that God gave Joshua is in verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. God asked Joshua to fulfill the second condition, and he will be able to claim the promise. The condition is that Joshua should talk about God's law, Joshua should think about God's law, and Joshua should also act on God's law. And the result is that he will be prosperous and successful. He will be prosperous and successful. Don't we all want to be prosperous and successful? That's a wonderful promise, but we need to first obey God's law. We need to talk to people about God's law, teachings in the Bible. We need to think about it. Spend quiet times throughout the day, or when there's a break, when there's a moment that you're not occupied with work, studies, then you think about God's word. You think about it so that you can act on it. You can reflect that in your actions so that other people will see that God is in your life. Then you will be prosperous and successful. What words do you see being repeated from verse 6 to verse 9? And why? You can't miss it. Be strong and courageous in verse 6. In verse 7, be strong and very courageous. And then in verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. 4 times, God asked Joshua to be strong and courageous. Why? Why God will ask Joshua to be strong and courageous 4 times? Joshua will not miss it, because that's exactly what Joshua needed. Joshua was not strong, he was weak. And he needed to be courageous because he was in fear, because Moses died, and a huge task of leadership now was on his shoulders. But he was only the greatest leader, Moses' assistant. What could he do? And he was going to face the greatest enemy that he would ever face in his life. Of course he would be in fear. And that's why God encouraged him and told him about the unconditional promises he had for Joshua, so that he would no longer be weak and in fear. There are also things that Joshua should do so that he would be able to claim those promises as well, the conditional promises, so that he could be successful and prosperous. What's God's promise for us? It is not necessarily one of physical territory, that we will own a piece of land, physical piece of land, for us to live on. God's promise is that we can be in the center of his will, of his plan, his purpose for our life. What is success in God's eyes? How can we be in the center of God's will, plan, and purpose for our lives? First, God wants every Christian today to be transformed into His image, as said in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. All Christians, God works for the good of them. God wants them to benefit in everything in their life because God is in control. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. God wants us to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, to be like His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, also our God. When we are like Him, we have the character of Jesus Christ. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We will be mature and we will have courage and strength to do God's work. Second, quality of success and prosperity in God's eyes for us is that we be loving and serving Him faithfully. According to Matthew chapter 25, verse 19 to 21, it says, "After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other half. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.'" God wants us to be faithful and good servants. And every one of us who have trusted Jesus as His personal Savior will one day see our Lord Jesus Christ. And He will examine our life to see if we have been faithful and good. He will reward us if we have been good and faithful till we see His face. If we have not, we will not get the reward. We will live eternal life in regret, although we will have eternal life with God, but we have not been good and faithful. As a result, we will not get the reward. It's hard to imagine what reward we will get for those who would live their life, Christian life, faithfully. Just like we don't know how good heaven is, but I believe that just like heaven is better than anything good that we can imagine, the reward will be better than anything that we can imagine. But we believe that indeed, if we become faithful and good servants, God would be pleased and would reward us in eternal life. The third quality of success and prosperity in God's eyes is meeting the deepest needs of others who hurt, who are in pain, who need deliverance from sin, who need their bodies healed and their minds restored. James chapter 1:27 says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world." God wants our faith to be reflected in our loving actions to help those who are deeply hurt, who are deeply in need, who are in pain. Meanwhile, we keep ourselves from being polluted by the evil of this world by being close to God. Lastly, what is success and prosperity in God's eyes? If we have a personal and vital relationship with Him, our Savior, our Lord, Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, verse 4 to 5 says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." If we have a personal vital relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, we will be able to bear fruit in our life. We will have joy, love, peace. We will have gentleness, self-control, patience, kindness, mercy, faithfulness. Joshua received God's unconditional and conditional promises. He was willing to claim the unconditional promises, and he was willing to fulfill the conditions so that he could claim the conditional promises as well. As we can see in verse 10 to 11. "So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, 'Go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own.'" Do we still see Joshua as a weak, scared person here? No. God made him strong and courageous. That's why we will see next time what a great leader Joshua has become. And from him we'll learn the great qualities of being a godly leader. But we'll also learn next time how we can be godly followers, following a godly leader to accomplish the great mission that God has given us. So what's my dream car? My dream car has been with me for the past 10 years. It's still my dream car. It's my Toyota Corolla 97 CE. 10 years ago, I got that because my mom helped me to buy the car. It's a gift God has given me through my mom. I like that. 10 years ago, when I was driving this car on the street, people behind me would try to catch up and then open the window of the car and then talk to me and tell me that it's a beautiful car, it's a nice car. This car has been with me for the past 10 years. This is my dream car, and I didn't knock it up in a garage so that it will always look good, because I realized that the main function of the car is for me to drive, to take me to different places. And more than that, I used my car to help many other people when I was in college, or help people by picking them up, giving them rides to church. There were people who didn't have cars, so I gave them rides to the campsite when we had an all-church retreat. This car helped me to go to different places so that I could learn God's word. This car took me from California to Dallas, where I could be equipped to serve God better. This car also took me from Dallas, Texas, to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where I can continue to serve God. And this car is helping me to visit some of you and more of you in the future, so that we can have great fellowship and learn God's word together. This is my dream car. It doesn't matter what type of dream car you have. The key is, don't put that in the garage. Use it for God's kingdom and righteousness. The key is not what you have. The key is how you use what you have. The key is how you use what you have for God's kingdom and righteousness. And God will bless you and those around you. So don't think that you have a dream car and then just hide it from people to keep looking good. And don't be like Johnny, who thought he was having so many limitations, he could not make a difference. Actually, I want to show you the second part of Johnny's story to encourage you that even though you might have limitations like Down syndrome, I'm sure that none of you here have Down syndrome, but you think you have other limitations. But let me encourage you by Johnny's story with this short video clip. This is a true story. He says that a few years ago, this lady is in a customer service program training people how to provide better customer service to people. He said the key is that you put your personal signature on the job. Make your customer feel special. About a month after she had spoken, she received a call from a 19-year-old beggar named Johnny. He proudly informed that he was a Down syndrome patient. And Johnny said, "I like what you talked about," he said, "but at first I didn't think I could do anything special for our customers. Then I had an idea," Johnny said. "Every night, after work, I would come home and find a thought for the day. If I can't find a saying at night, he would just think of one. When Johnny had a good thought of the day, his father, his dad would help him set it up on the computer and print it. Johnny would cut these out, and then the next day, he would give one to each of his customers." It touched the customer service trainer what Johnny could do to his customers. And 1 month later, the store manager where Johnny worked called the trainer. He said, "You won't believe what happened. When I was making my rounds today, I found Johnny's checkout line was 3 times longer than anyone else. It went all the way down the frozen food aisle. And then I announced, 'We need more cashiers to help out.'" The store manager continued, "It was a joy to watch Johnny be nice to customers. There were customers who said previously they would just drop by the store once a week, but now every time they pass by the store, they will come in order to get the thought of the day from Johnny. And everybody in the store has been influenced by this spirit of service and try to help out whenever their help is needed in the store." All because Johnny chose to make a difference Johnny's idea wasn't nearly as innovative as it was loving, because it came from his heart. That's what made the difference. It is not what we have, it is how we use it out of our loving heart. And what else did Johnny do when he needed help? He went to his dad. When we need help, we can go to our Heavenly Father to ask Him to help us, and He will give us the wisdom, He will give us the strength, He will give us the energy to do His work. Are you willing to become a Johnny today and let the spirit of service be among us to help each other in the English ministry? There are a lot of things that we will need help from you, and each one can make a difference here by contributing what God has given you through God's power. We will talk more about how we can be godly leaders and godly followers next time. So today we have seen that God has given Joshua unconditional promises. Joshua had a promise in God's stated purpose. Joshua had a promise of God's presence. Joshua had the promise of God's faithfulness. God also gave him conditional promises. God asked him to be strong and courageous, to obey all the Mosaic law, and the result is that Joshua will be successful wherever he goes. The second conditional promise is that God's book of the law, Joshua should talk about it, think about it, and act on it. And the result is that he will be prosperous and successful. We also talked about how we can be successful and prosperous in God's eyes today in the 21st century as a Christian. We need to be transformed into His Son, Jesus Christ's image. We need to be loving and serving Him faithfully. We need to be meeting the deepest needs of others who hurt, who are in pain, who need deliverance from sin, who need their bodies healed and their minds restored. We need to have a personal, vital relationship with our Lord, our Savior, our God, Jesus Christ. Let us pray and ask God to help us to learn how to apply what we have learned today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us Joshua as a good example, that although we might have good talents, that we should learn how to use them for God. And although we might have limitations, that's the time that we can come to God to ask for God's help, rely on God, and God, You will do wonderful things for us. We can make a difference. So Lord, let us learn how to claim Your unconditional promises for our lives, and let us learn how to also fulfill the conditions for the conditional promises You have for us. We need to obey Your word, Your teaching in the Bible. We need to talk about God's word. We need to think about God's word. We need to act on God's teachings for us. Give us the power from the Holy Spirit to live out the promises that You have for us today. A prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.